for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A
of the Sunday afternoon service of September the 4th, 1988. Glenn and Irma Miller are the speakers of the afternoon with testimonies. Irma, come on.
You know, we wives have to learn to obey our husbands. When he looks at me a certain way or goes like this, I know. That means get on your feet and do something. I wish I knew where Patty and Kevin were. Get them, Glenn, get them. Kevin came to live with us when he was 17, just had gotten saved in a little sonship group out in Sacramento. And he had been a drug addict for many years, since he was 11, I think. And I had never dealt with any, our children were too old to know about drugs, or they never got involved in it. I never knew about it myself. I learned a lot of how to have compassion on somebody that their minds were just gone from drugs. And Kevin was such a prayer warrior. He would just pray, and he prayed and prayed to come and move with us. He came to us in California to help with the printing and taping and everything. Come up here, little Patricia. And where's Kevy? Oh, we want him. He won't. He don't want to come? Oh, we want him to. Tell him we want him to come for just a minute. No, he doesn't want to. Yeah. Anyway, Kevin works behind the scenes and gets all these tapes ready. Makes hundreds of tapes, sends them out, been so faithful. And for a long time, we didn't have any secretary here. And I was changing addresses, cooking, doing all the everything. And one day, I used to pray in tongues a lot. There used to not be any. We came here, there wasn't any grocery stores or any mall or anything here. And I'd have a long stretch to get to town. I'd pray in tongues and pray. One day, I was praying in tongues, and when I finished praying in tongues, and I've been asking the Lord for a secretary, for somebody to come and help me. And he said, right out of my mouth came the interpretation, I have the right person for you. She will pray with you. She will cry with you. She will work with you. And I will provide her. Well, she came down with a girl from ORU that needed deliverance really bad. I'd never seen Patty in my life. She was out from a Catholic home. Her family was Steinkirchners, which is very German, and they were Catholic. She had gotten the Holy Spirit, though. But she came down with this girl, and she says that I said, going up the stairs to our office, we've got to pray, that I looked at her and told her that she was full of rebellion or something like that. And so I don't remember saying it. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will say things out of you that you don't remember if it doesn't go through your brain, you know, it comes out of your innermost being. Anyway, we get up there to the office, and I was praying with this other girl, and all of a sudden, Patty begins to scream and kick her feet and throw herself around, and it was the evil powers. And I ran over to our office is upstairs, and I ran over there to those winding stairs, and I yelled, Kevin, come up here quick and help me pray. And up he came, and so Patty says, he met my demons before he met me. Anyway, they got married. She came here to live then, and I don't know when it was, in the fall, I guess. And the next spring, they got married. And we had prayed with Kevin for the right girl for so long, and a lot of girls come through here, and he'd think that was the right one, and he'd think that was the right one. But Patty was the right one.
And she was working at St. Joseph's Hospital and living out here. And when they got married, and she kept on there, and she was there a year. And one day I said, that's when I said, Kevin, we got to pray. We got to have some help around here. I just can't work here day and night and get all this work done. I was writing the magazine and changing addresses and talking on the phone and answering letters and doing all this. And he says, my Patty would like to work here for you. And I said, oh, really? Does she know how to type? He said, sure, she's been to business college. And she came. Come up here. The Lord just plans everything, doesn't he? Just tell him.
Tell him.
What you want to
tell him. Well, it took me a year to realize that Kevin had any demons. And he told me, he said, well, the minute I looked at you, I knew you had demons. But, you know, together we have to work these things out, and we pray for one another. And I just want to give God the glory today for, you know, our testimony is the testimony of Jesus. And there's my Kevy. Come here. I don't know. Well, you talk first.
I hate getting up here.
You're up here.
Praise God. If there's anything that I can say to the young people that haven't never been married before, you know, I prayed for, there's a brother that used to live here, Skip, which he's now gone on to be a doctor. And him and I used to pray and together and pray for our mates. And we prayed for about 5 years before I ever met Patty. And during the time that I was praying for my mate, that Lord would prepare her and also prepare me. God knows I needed preparing. And during that time that I was praying, she wasn't even saved yet. You know, so God, you know, you don't never know who they are or what they're like while you're praying. But God can bring them to you and change them and prepare their hearts. And, you know, I was praying, Lord, I just wanted someone who's saved, spirit-filled, wanted to go on with God, believed in deliverance, and wasn't going to fight the ministry. And that's the main thing that I was praying for. And Lord took care of all the rest.
Amen. Well, I just wanted to thank the Lord for placing Kevin and I here. You know, we can't choose. We can choose, but the best way to go is the way the Lord wants us to go.
I know.
I brought it. All right. Well, I just wanted to thank, you know, as I started to say, God has placed Kevin and I here together, and he has placed us in a position to help Glenn and Irma. And I just would like to encourage everyone today that to seek your placement in the Lord, because that's where the anointing is. You know, we can all go out and strive to move into something that God is not really calling us to do. And if we will seek the Lord for where he wants us to be, you know, when I worked at St. Joe and I worked in hospitals, God put a desire in my heart to work in those places. And he, in a way, anointed that work because he gave me the abilities to be a nurse's aide. He gave me the abilities. He anointed the abilities to be compassionate and to help people. And people saw those abilities, and I'm not lifting up myself. I'm lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done in and through. And people saw those abilities, and they would say, oh, you're destined to be a nurse. You've got the abilities and the qualities to be a nurse. So I listened to those voices. Oh, that sounded wonderful, you know. That was just a little bit more glorious than emptying bedpans and taking blood pressures out of the abundance of the heart. So I went to nursing school, and I went for 6 months, and I fell flat on my face, let me tell you. I was not destined to be a student. I was in no way, shape, or form called to that. But see, I was listening to something that people were telling me, and God had not called me to be a nurse. He had called me at that point in time to be a nurse's aide, and that's where the anointing was. And we're here to help, and we're thankful for the placement that God has given us, and it's a pleasure, it's a joy to be working with Glenn and Irma. I thank God that Lake Hamilton Bible Camp was birthed out of the heart of God for God's purposes and for His kingdom, and it's just such a joy to be here, and that's, well, all right. just one other thing I wanted to share. And Irma mentioned briefly that I had come out of a Catholic home. And, you know, when I first came here, I didn't know anything about anything. I had only been saved less than a year, and the Lord had sovereignly baptized me in the Holy Spirit. And I just came here on a lark. I'd gone to Tulsa to visit a friend, and she was going to come down here because her mom was thinking about moving here, and she wanted to check the place out. She didn't know anything about it. So we came down here, and just on a Saturday night. And I didn't know anything about deliverance. I mean, I knew when I first got saved that God had delivered me from a spirit of nicotine and cigarette addiction, but I didn't know really about demons. I just knew about being in bondage to something. And so they were having a little service in here, and Kevin was ministering that night. He was teaching on what the Bible has to say about winking. And it was very interesting. You ought to look it up and see what the Bible has to say about winking and make you quit winking. It's perversion. It's a forward spirit. That's right. It is. And so they had a little mini deliverance service here, and this is Irma had come over to me, and she was laying her hands on my friend. My friend's name was Linda, and she was praying for Linda, and she had her hand on my back. And boy, something from way down deep inside of me began to churn and to gurgitate down in there, and I didn't know what was going on, but I just kind of sat there, and pretty soon she had her hand on my back, and she said, "Rebellion against authority, come out of her in the name of Jesus." And nobody told me to cough, choke, sputter, or do anything, but from way down deep in my being came out this, you know, and I let her rip. And I tell you, after we left that afternoon, that evening, why, we went back, we were staying in a motel, we didn't have all these dormitories then, and there was fellas staying up there in the A-frame, that's where there was no place to stay. And so we went back, and it was the most glorious experience I'd had since I'd gotten saved. I felt such a presence of the Lord, and I think that was the first time I realized, as I reflect back, I saw that deliverance was an extension of God's love to His people. It's a provision for Him to reveal His love and His mercy and His glory. You know, He's calling us to unto Himself. He's calling us to be filled with the fullness of Him. And deliverance isn't the only way, but it's a means that He has provided. He's bought it for us. The provision has come through His blood. And I just would encourage you just to enter into that and to receive all that God wants us to receive. I just wanted to share one scripture that just came to my heart it's in 2 Corinthians 6 and 16. And maybe I'm taking some of this out of context. I don't know. I'm basically still a babe in the Lord. But this ministered to me. It says, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." And God is wanting to bring us unto Himself. He's wanting to strip us entirely of everything that is against Him, everything that these temples are containing, that these temples are still laboring with. He's wanting to strip us, and we need to submit ourselves unto Him and to yield ourselves unto the Holy Spirit's moving in our lives. And if deliverance is how He's wanting to do it, then so be it. Let it go. He's going to give you the wherewithal and the grace to live with deliverance. And no matter what it appears to be up here, it's the mercy of God. It's His love coming forth. It's His desire to bring you unto Him and to minister His love and His mercy and His grace and to bring you into the fullness that He has a desire for. You know, we had deliverance up there the other afternoon for unbelief, and that's been the cry of my heart for months, that God would strip us of the unbelief that is hindering us from coming on in into the fullness that He has. That's what they kept the children of Israel out, and if we let it, it's what's going to keep us out. And we just need to continue to press on and to press in. And I guess the reason this thing ministered so much to me, this particular scripture, is because my background is in the area of idolatry. Yes, Catholics believe in Jesus, and I thank God for that part of my heritage. But it's so mixed in with the idolatrous ways of the heathen. And so I realized that idolatry, from the very beginning, when I began to learn that it was not it was not destined to be a part of the true and the living God. You know, I've turned from idols to serve the true and the living God. And that part of my background is not something that's going into the kingdom of God. That's not something that it says he has no agreement with these idols. He has no company with them. He has no accord with them. And you know, yes, I can speak from the attitude and from the background of Catholicism and Babylon, and I could go on and on and on, but I'm not going to, about the deliverances that God has wrought in this particular vessel and the strippings that he's done in this particular vessel of the idolatrous ways of my background. I wasn't even a devout Catholic. I just happened to be born into it, you know? But it's the ancestral things that have so crippled and so hindered and so affected my walk with God. And you know, that's not the only idols that God's dealing with. He's dealing with idols in every one of our hearts. There's idols, just idols. Money is an idol. Food is an idol. Self is an idol. You listen to any of Howard Pittman's tapes and I tell you, you'll rend your heart quickly and repent quickly of the God of self because it's a beast. It is a beast. It really is a beast. And so, let's see, what else? I lost my train of thought there. Well, praise the Lord. Anyway, God's not going to have any idols in his kingdom, and so I just want to be totally free. Praise the Lord. Amen.
You know, there's a scripture that says that those that bow down to idols are, well, confounded means
right.
Stupid.
Right.
You know,
right.
You're just in a haze, a maze. You know, not all there, really. She's all here now. But you know, every one of us has some type of an idol. How many want to get rid of it?
Children can be idols. Husbands
can be
idols. Wives can be idols.
I have that new granddaughter.
No, I'm not referring to anything personal. Now, don't say that.
After six grandsons, we have this new granddaughter, 4 months old, and I'm always getting out the pictures, and she says, there she goes again. But I tell you, I praise God. And she isn't my idol. I've never even seen her, but I love her. But, you know, we could. Some people idolize their children so bad
that
it's just sickening. And some people idolize a home, or some people idolize their cars, or their the way they look, or you know,
sports. Big idol.
And whatever it is, let's just ask the Lord, the Father, the God of mercy, to remove those out of us.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I want Sherry to come up here too.
Thank you, Jesus.
With me and with Patty. She gave such a wonderful talk upstairs, didn't she?
Yes, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Let's clap for Jesus. Let's clap for Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.
And we're just going to, Sherry, you pray, and we're going to believe that the Lord's going to take these idols right out.
Okay, I'm going to pray in the spirit a minute first. Can
pray and do any way you want to do.
Ilo botre mambo she sele botria mondre. Drebele botto le makashen zedrio bolo botur. Leba handre beli botlo klan zedide de babush. Zele botre mita lendolo koman je zile betrio si beshe. Be sele botri mambo le kandria si bede. Tremona hatrion zedide de kur. For it is this hour that I've put before you, saith the Lord, that you might indeed lay before me those things that so easily beset you, yea, those things that would crowd your thinking and pervert your thinking away from my presence, saith the Lord. For ye have need to walk humbly before me, and to humble yourself most earnestly at my feet. For I am he, the Holy One of Israel, and beside me there is no God. And we declare in this congregation that there is no God of poverty and want. There is no God of depravity of any level, shape, or form. There is no God of idolatry toward children, toward home, toward husband, toward wife. There is no idolatry of religious symbols or religious doctrines. There is no idolatry of hatred or unforgiveness. There is no idolatry of witchcraft in the name of Jesus. There is no idolatry of every unclean force is going to come to the attention of the Lord Jesus Christ. And before His name and His very nature, no form of evil can stand within His presence. And we take authority now over every work of darkness that would harbor in the hearts of every man, woman, and child in hearing distance. And we render them fruitless under the blood of Jesus Christ. And we cast you into utter darkness where you'll receive the judgment on the Day of Atonement. And you'll find rest in no other vessel in the name and the nature of Jesus Christ. The yoke is broken in Jesus Christ's name. Hallelujah. And I just want to bestow onto you that the word name means nature. The very nature of Jesus Christ is against every yoke of bondage. Every yoke of bondage. And for this purpose was the Son of God, the living God Most High, extended unto men that He might destroy every work of the enemy. Hallelujah. We pray on.
Praise the Lord.
Do you have anything else to say?
No. I will say one thing. I've enjoyed myself thoroughly, and I do want to give honor to my pastors. They've been playing the trumpet, and I feel they have loved me to this point. And I praise the Lord that I have a confidence in my pastors, and I know they'll love me.
Yes.
Till I stand in the day of judgment. And you know there's a verse in the Bible that I pray on their behalf. That when they stand before the judgment seat of the Lord, and they give account for my soul, that they will indeed be filled with joy. Because I have taken every part that they have given unto me, and I've fitted into the love of God, and it's done a work within me. And I just want to encourage everybody. This is one word I say to everybody. Get you committed to a local assembly and submit yourself to the pastor. Because without the pastor, you're never going to come into the maturity of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't be sonship unless you walk. Ephesians chapter 4. You need the prophet, the apostle, the teacher, the preacher, and the evangelist in order to be matured or thoroughly made whole in Jesus Christ. Can't be a vagabond.
No.
Roaming from town to town, from city to city, convention to convention. You're going to be out of order, and you'll never be made thoroughly whole. Commit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ and Amen. Submit yourself to His gift, the fivefold.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want Jean to come up next. Jean came here. It was a very strange happening. We went to the Lake of the Ozarks to a Four Gospel Convention, and I was at the book table. And that's the greatest place to be because everybody passes by, and you get a whole feel of what's going on in the convention by how what people say. And this man came up, a very lovely businessman, and he was talking to me, and he gave me his card. And it was the first time he'd ever been to a Four Gospel Convention, and I was talking to him, and he was a lawyer from Hastings, Nebraska, or Lincoln, which was it?
Hastings.
He told me to send his, the magazine, Voices from His Excellent Glory, to him. He was a Lutheran, and did he have the Holy Spirit then?
Yes.
He had the Holy Spirit, and so we put him on the mailing list and started mailing, and he'd read them and give them to his secretary. And she would file them, and he'd say, keep these, I cherish these nuggets in here. And he took cancer, I don't know how long after that, not too long after that, I guess, and passed away quickly. Had a lovely family, and the secretary of his office called one day and said to his wife, there's a folder down here that your husband cherished very much. would you like to have it? And she came down and she took it, and she began to read it. And I don't know, I guess she knew Jean, but that, then she called, you know, a lot of people call and they'll ask a lot of questions, and you have to be patient with them because they hear and they don't understand and they want to know. And so she decided to come down for the summer camp meeting, and she brought how many people with her?
Three families.
Three families in this big, motor, or trailer. Yeah, and Jean was one of them. And Jean, I want you to tell them how you were and what happened to you. You can do it.
Well, it's a long story, and I can't tell it all, of course. But for many years, about 23, I had what they call agoraphobia. I became housebound. I was married. I had two children, a good husband, the work provided for me. And I had been raised by a Pentecostal mother, and she didn't get to go to church much, but she used to sing the praises of the Lord, the message of salvation, the blood of Jesus, the infilling and baptism of the Holy Spirit. And these things just ministered to me, and I knew that I had to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and that He'd heal me. I knew I had to belong to Him to receive His healing. And all these years, it was a very miserable life. It was miserable for me, but it was miserable for my family. And I was afraid of everything. I was afraid to stay alone. And if somebody came to stay with me, that upset me too. And it was just a miserable life. And I hate to go to bed, and I hate to get up. There's many, many things I could say, but finally there was a couple that I had been in the world with came by one Wednesday evening. They had went to a Baptist church and got born again. So they came over to minister to me and led me to the Lord. And I just said, Lord, I can't do it anymore. My life is yours. And I knew there was a change inside of me. However, I still had problems getting out of the house. But there was a determination in me that I could look back on and see that I was determined to obey my Father. And He said, assemble yourself together. So I went to church, even though I was shaken with fear every step of the way. Sometimes I wanted to get up and run out of the church. I was so afraid. But anyway, to make a long story short, I left that church, went to Assembly of God, and got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the Lord brought a couple across our path that had sat under a deliverance ministry, and we became friends, and they ministered to me and delivered me of a spirit of fear of traveling. And it was the Lord told us it was a prince ruler. And I'll tell you, I know who set me free. His name is Jesus Christ. And so that was when about the time I'd met Marilyn, and she knew that I wanted more deliverance. And she said, I think I've heard of a deliverance camp somewhere. I think it's in Kansas. Well, she had part of it right. It was Arkansas. As she brought me and the other two families down here, my husband and my little girl, and we've been coming down here ever since for every summer camp. And, well, I'm here, and I'm traveling, and I'm free.
Amen.
Glory to His holy name. He set me free. If you're bound by fear, it's a spirit, and you can be free. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. She and her husband eventually moved here, and she helps with the cleaning. She can find every speck of dirt in this place, and she doesn't rest till it's gone. And we appreciate her so much. She works behind the scenes, and she prays a lot, and she helps us pray for people that come that need help so badly, and we just praise the Lord. And Dottie's sitting beside her. We didn't have a pianist here for so long. I used to have to hire somebody to come and play the piano for camp meeting. And Dottie and her husband came. Well, Dottie started coming with some people from Marion, Ohio, and that's where she lived, I think, first. But it was a real strange thing. You know, this little voice is from His Excellent Glory. It gets around. Postmen take it home to their wives, and they copy it and Xerox it, and then they deliver it later. And people find it in waste baskets, and they get it out of the post office waste basket, and they take it home, and then they're calling up. But anyway, Dottie had a neighbor down in Tyler, Texas, where her husband was working for Riders. And this neighbor woman gave her some of these little papers. Isn't that the way it was, Dottie? No? What was the way? Tell me the way.
Never
yeah, I know Flo. Flo came up here in a trailer.
She had given me some books, Annie Vision's books.
Oh, yes.
And I sent for them. And you sent me the magazine, the old.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
And then you started the sending for your
mm-hmm. And then you gave them to the people that bought your house, didn't you, the dentist?
No.
You didn't? How'd they get it?
I don't know.
I thought they told me they found one in the house or they did something. I don't know. Anyway, it gets around. And so eventually people just move here that is needed in the work of God. And Dottie and Mac moved here, and he retired from Riders in kind of a miraculous way. And they moved here, and when she used to come with the other girls, I never knew she played the piano. And here she is playing the piano for us and working for the Lord, and she's a real prayer warrior, too. And
one thing I'd like to say.
Sure.
Like I said, I came down in 82 and got a burden for this place. And I began to pray, and I seen the need. I seen Glenn and Irma, and they had a lot of needs, and in the campground, and the Lord prodded me to pray. And people would say, oh, your husband, the girls that that knew me and had been coming down with me, your husband needs to go down there and work for Glenn. He's a carpenter, he's a mechanic, he's a plumber, he can just do everything. He used to build homes. And he was teaching a mechanics with Ryder. And I thought, oh, no way. No way. He isn't a believer. And I just dismissed it. I would laugh at him. And it didn't even enter my mind. But I kept praying, Lord, send them somebody who is sold out to the purposes of God. They need some help, Lord. Bring them someone. And my husband had a job that he had longed for years. And he had his little nest built. We had gone to Texas, but they had offered him a job back in the north. And that's what he wanted. So we go back to Ohio. And he had his little nest. But you know the Lord has a way to get in there and stir up the nest. And he took him to Michigan around the Detroit area, and he hates traffic. But the Lord knew right where to put him. Well, we thought we would be there till he was old enough to retire. Well, in a year's time, he came home and he says, "I'm just going to quit. I cannot stand it any longer. I'm going down to Arkansas to build that house." And, through circumstance, we had bought a lot here. And so God just puts us, we're like ponds. We're His workmanship.
That's right.
And He forms us and He makes us.
Yeah.
And even though we have no understanding, and He has brought me here, I never played the piano, really. I just kind of messed around. But, and I'm asking the Lord to teach me to do that. But you know, the Lord forms us and He makes us. And there is hope. I began to be faithful to the time of prayer that the Lord had laid on my heart. And I began to seek the Lord. And I began to seek the Lord. And I called on the Lord. And He brought me to a place where I never thought of. But He knows what He's making. And He is faithful to perfect that unto the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Glenn said what happened with Mac. And he just started to, well, he would never go to church with me much. I always wanted to go. But since we've been here, he's been faithful to come. And, well, he built his house. And I just thought, well, he'll go back to Ryder. And there was a place here, just a little business place. But I thought, well, you know, that's what he'll do. I never dreamed. And he says, well, I just think I'll go over to that campground and work. And he kind of kept waiting for Glenn doesn't know this. But he kept kind of waiting for Glenn to ask him, you know, to work here. And he is a good carpenter, and
yes.
He is a good mechanic, and he is a good worker. He's a conscientious man.
Yes, he is.
And through this time, I can see the Lord little by little just bringing him in. He doesn't know that, but I can see.
He probably
and,
does.
And the Lord is forming him. So, ladies, just hang on.
Yes.
And keep praying. Our men, pray for them mates. God does answer prayer.
Amen. God does answer prayer. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, Linda wants to preach.
No, I don't want to preach. I want to say something because I've been sitting on this ever since the service started this afternoon, because God began showing me something in a vision when Glenn first walked up here. And I saw a picture of a blueprint, like an engineer's blueprint. And God began speaking to my heart and said that the groundwork had been laid and that there were those that he had prepared that were still in places that you, people that you don't even know, that God is going to bring into the ministry here, and that is going to be a part of this, and that I just feel in my heart that it's not that many days down the road that little by little some of these are going to begin to come this direction. God's going to join them, already has joined their spirits with yours. It just, you haven't seen it with the natural eye yet, but there is a number of people that God is bringing this direction, and I saw it coming from different areas. It wasn't just from one place, but from different directions that God was going to join with you here in the ministry to build the kingdom of God.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I just saw our grandson show up at the door. I want him to come up. And I want Raymond to come up. Raymond, come on, Daniel, my nanny. Oh, you're in your shorts. This is campground. Raymond, come up with Daniel. Raymond's been here. How many years, Raymond, you been here now?
13 or 14 years.
Long time.
A long time. And Raymond came here in braces, came here from the rehab. He had been in a car wreck and was formerly at Vietnam and messed up. And he had been in a coma 90 days. And who healed you, Raymond? Jesus. And Raymond got rid of his braces, and he's a faithful servant.
Amen.
You don't hear much out of him, but he stays back there, and he washes those dishes, and he helps, he cleans, and he scrubs, and he takes care of the restrooms. And Mel, you come up here. Mel showed up here, I don't know. 3 or 4 or 5 weeks ago. He came from Oregon, just showed up here, and he's been in there working and helping, and he came here for help, and the Lord's helping him, and he's got...
And he's helping us.
And he's helping Daniel. Daniel was in the service 4 years, and he's been in National Guard 2 years, and what have you got to say, young man, for yourself?
Well, every time I get behind this mic, the first thing I do is confess Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior.
Amen.
And he is. And Lord's put me in a position here where I get to minister to you. And he's really put a burden in my heart for him, for all the youth. And there's so many of them, just not the ones that come through here, but all the youth out there.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I get a chance, I stand up and I get to witness to them, and I get to bring one to the Lord here or there, or just recently, if you've been calling me in town, to come out and stay with them and pray with them for a need or two. And I feel privileged. The Lord's put me in this place. All the time I was in the military, I didn't have the opportunity I've got now. My roommates got saved here and there, and I had a good time while I was in the Army. I had a real good time. But now that I know I'm in the right army of the Lord, where I should be.
Amen. You're dismissed. when he was in boot camp, he had a Christian sergeant. They got everybody in that barracks saved. They did a lot of praying over those tests or whatever they have to do. And we went down to watch him graduate, and I don't know if he knew or not. We certainly didn't know. And here they come. What are those, companies that march across, or battalions? Hundreds of kids marching across this great big field coming, you know, all in uniform. And they got up there and they went through whatever they were doing. And then they started giving out awards, and they called Daniel Dufresne. What was his rank? I don't know what, you know, whatever they had, his rank was. And they called him up. He had gotten every award. He was number one in that whole big group. And it was because of the Lord Jesus, because of prayers. He'd always be writing us and telling us to pray for him. And we prayed a lot for him. And all these intercessors around here prayed for him. And he has a twin brother that needs a lot of prayer. His name is Dennis. He's in Boston. And he has an older brother named Daniel, or Donald, and he needs a lot of prayer. And he has a mother named Glenora, and she needs a lot of prayer. And we need your prayer help. Through circumstances, we had to give up our parents, our children, our home, our land, everything for Jesus. We had to make a choice. We either had to do that or just give up and just build a regular church here. We had the ultimatum. We were four-generation Pentecostals here the first summer we came. And my parents, being ministers, they did not see deliverance. The very first deliverance we had, they gave me an ultimatum the next morning. Either you stop doing what you're doing, or we're going to move. And I couldn't even believe it. You know, I've always known you stay in the profession for which God has called you to do. And I said, we can't do that. They wanted us to build a nice big Assembly of God church, put a big cross on top that swung around with neon, and they already had five Assembly of God churches and lots of Pentecostal churches in this town. I said, but that isn't what the Lord called us here. We wouldn't have given up our good jobs to come back here and pioneer this. And they said, is that your answer? I said, Glenn, they asked him, and he didn't really say anything. They were my parents. And I said, yes, that's the answer. And they walked out, went down to Prescott, 60 miles away, and bought a house, came back and said, we're leaving. Never been to the town before. And then they told our daughter, her husband, and the three children were living here. And they told her, you better move, you better get out of here. These demons are going to get you. And they moved in just a few days. And Kevin and Glenn and I were left. But praise the Lord, he's going to restore what the cankerworm and the palmer worm has eaten. He's going to restore them. He's going to restore families. He's restored many of these families here. And he's going to restore them. Our son lives in California, a sweet, wonderful boy, wonderful Christian. And his wife and his two sons and this little girl. And we go out to see him maybe once a year. But we need to pray for families this afternoon. I want Brother Golden to come up and Sister Golden. Their family needs prayer. How many other families need prayer? Stand up. Everybody that's got unsaved or wayward children, I stand on that scripture. Bring up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart. And I think of all the times that our daughter is such a musician. And Donnie, a genius child, since he was in the early kindergarten, he was put way ahead, three or four grades, a genius. And he called the other day. They call me now and then. Our daughter, I've seen her once in 14 years, and she now has another child and a different husband. And we've seen the little grandson once in his life. And he looked at me when he found out who we were. We went over there looking for her and over by Fort Knox where Daniel was, and we found her. And this little boy come up and he says, Grandma, I always wondered what you look like. And, you know, that can hurt a mother and a grandmother. But the Lord's going to restore them.
And he's going to restore all of you, all of your families. That's the word of God. God is not a liar. He's going to do it. I want Brother Golden to come and pray.
Let's everyone bow our heads reverently to the Lord. Let us feel after the Lord. Let's feel after one another's needs and the needs of the members of families that are off out in sin and in bondage. Father in heaven, we look to you just now, Savior. We don't want to be selfish with all the goodness that you have given unto us, Lord. We want to see others receive it, and especially those of our own household, Lord. Father in heaven, we bring them before you, Savior. You've told us to pray one for another, Lord, and not just to be praying empty prayers with no answers. Lord, we intercede unto you, Savior. Lord, we know that you're going to give glorious answers, Lord. We pray for every son that is out of your ark of safety, Lord, that's not serving you, dear blessed Lord. We pray for each daughter, Lord. We just bring every family right here that's represented, Lord. Oh, God, we bring mother and daddy before you, Lord. We bring son and daughter before you, Lord. Lord, we bring grandchildren before you, Lord. We bring cousins and nephews before you, Lord. Oh, blessed Savior, we look into you. We intercede, Lord, for everyone that is in those demonic bondages, Lord. We speak healing and restoration in Jesus' name right now, Lord. Any individual present that is in a bad relation with their family members right now, Lord, we speak healing and restoration in Jesus' name, dear blessed Savior. Oh, Lord, we claim from you the grace to daily wait before you, Lord, from this time forward. In a way that we've never waited from you before, we thank you, Lord, for what you will do instantly, right today, right this moment, Lord, as a result of our faith in you, Lord. And we thank you for assurance, Lord, for the things that you would have us to abide faithful daily, Lord, what you would do gradually as a process over a period of time. We thank you for beginning that work right now, Lord, and for patience to abide before you till we win each and every one of our loved ones, Lord. Lord, I bring my own daughter before you, Savior. I don't know where she is, Lord. Oh, God, but we know she has been running from you, Lord. Oh, God. Savior, we lay her before you, Savior. You've seen that we have fought the battle, Lord, and tried to do what we can in our own effort, Lord. You see our failures that we've had, but Lord, we thank you, Lord. When you decide to do something, there's no failure with you. Dear blessed Savior, oh God, we just thank you, Lord. Oh, blessed sweet Lamb of God, oh, praise your sweet name. Oh, praise your name, Lord. And we thank you for it, Lord. We lift our hearts to you, Lord, and we thank you for hearing us. We thank you, Lord, for blessing those precious members of our family that are so dear to our hearts, Lord. Precious grandchildren, Lord, that are so dear to our hearts, dear blessed Savior. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord, that you're going to give us the joy of seeing restoration. And I thank you for each one here, Lord, for the joy that you're going to give us of seeing you healing relationships and families, Lord. I thank you for the joy you're already causing us to feel right now and the assurance that you're causing us to feel right now, Lord. Oh, blessed Savior, how we do thank you, Lord. We thank you that you are God that cares. We thank you that you have made us a people that truly cares, not just for our own self, Lord, but for those dear, precious loved ones, Lord, that are so much in bondage, that are so far away from you, Lord. We thank you, dear blessed God, for hearing our prayers and for using us this day. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord. Oh, bless your sweet name. Thank you, Lord, for family ties, Lord, that are knit together so precious in your spirit, Lord. Hallelujah, bless your name. We just thank you for healing that you have already done, Lord. Thank you for these precious testimonies that we've heard today, Lord, of healings that you have done in marriages and in families, Lord. We just thank you so much for it. We just thank you, Lord, for those healings that you are presently doing, Lord, and that you're going to do through us, Lord, and through our intercession and through our labor in the days to come, because we claim it from you right now. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Yea, for I say unto this day, you're in your hearts. Bring your hearts toward me, for yea, I hear for people that would call unto me. Yea, I say unto thee, this is the time to rend your hearts, to bring your petitions before me in behalf of your family. Yea, my eyes are ever searching throughout the world, throughout the nation this very day, for those that are astray. Yea, I have my eyes upon them, thus saith the Lord thy God. And yea, I have called them, and yea, they shall not escape. Yea, for I will bring them back to the place where they first had the first love toward me. Yea, I say unto thee, rend your hearts toward me, and yea, I will do that work within them, thus saith the Lord thy God. Hallelujah.
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 Praise the Lord. You believe that?
Yeah.
We receive that, Lord. We seal that right now. We seal that. We seal that. There's two more people. I'm sure they're way back there in the kitchen, but Kathy and Ruby, who labor in there cooking, and Kathy runs the computer, and Ruby came to work for us way back when we first moved here, and off and on she's worked for us, and she is a wonderful cook, and I bless them too, and it's time for us to eat. Okay. You can sit down if you want to.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.